And so this morning, we're going to continue in how to have a victorious spiritual life. And I want to preach a message that's just simply titled, The Power of Persistent Prayer. The Power of Persistent Prayer. In other words, there is great power when we pray always, when we are constantly going before God and being persistent in it. I'm not talking about just random prayers or one-off prayers or prayers for our dinner or prayer when we need something and something happens, which is all fine and good. But there's actually power in a persistent prayer life, not just a consistent prayer life, but a persistent one. And so I want to go to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, Jesus is speaking. He shares a parable. And I want to share this parable. I want to read these verses. There's eight verses I want to read first. And I want to break down a little bit about what a persistent prayer life looks like. So here we go. Luke chapter 18, starting verse 1. It says, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. Verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? It's a great parable. I want to just explain the parable real quickly in case you missed something. First of all, God is not the judge in this parable. The judge, the ungodly, unholy judge in this parable, does not represent God. So the judge that is in this parable, he is ungodly. He's an unbelieving man. He doesn't fear God. The point is this. The point is, if an unsaved person, a judge in this instance, will give justice, then God will surely show justice and response to his people. It's similar to the passage that we talked about that long ago, that if we who are sinful know how to give good gifts to our kids, how much more does God, who loves us and is holy, know how to bless and give good gifts to his children? In other words, if we who are broken and lost understand justice and understand how to give, how much more so would God give? So this parable is showing kind of an example of here's what an unsaved, unjust person does and shows mercy and justice because this widow kept coming to him. How much more then when we go before God, when we bring our requests before him, when we are constantly going before him, how much more would he show us justice and mercy and answers to our requests than this unjust person? So here's a few things I want you to take away. I think you'll find this very encouraging, hopefully a little challenging, and maybe a little understanding about what a persistent prayer life looks like. The first one is this, number one is this, is that it's said to always pray. Always pray. It's a reminder to me that prayer works always. In every situation, in every point of life, that you and I should be praying constantly. In the scripture, it says that we should be praying continually. Which means that our spirit, our attitude should be constantly thinking about the things of God. Now, what this isn't saying, it's not saying that we should just hide out in our house all day, every day, and all we do is pray. Well, listen, reality, we have to engage in the world. We got jobs. We got to go to school. We got activities. We got sports. We got all this stuff happening. So then how then do you always pray? I think this is a spiritual maturity question. And I think it's a reality, and I think it's actually attainable. I do believe that in your everyday life, you and I can continually be praying and thinking about the things of God, even while we're doing other things. Even while we're at work, even while we're hanging out with friends, even while we're working out or at school, we should have the mindset of always be thinking about God, always be thinking about the kingdom of God. But instead, what happens is we always think about everything else, which is why there's so much stress, why there's so much anxiety, why there's so much fear. Because instead of thinking about the things of God, we think about the things of the world, or we think about our problems. So it's a reminder that prayer works. It's also a reminder that we should constantly be praying. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, the writer associates prayer with the armor of God. I think this is important. You know, we talked about the armor. In fact, I had a mannequin up here fully decked out in the armor when we talked about it this last year. And those armor pieces, the helmet, the breastplate, the shield, the sword, the boots, the belt, all those things are all things you put on. But at the end of that, it talks about prayer. It talks about prayer. It's a powerful, powerful thing that associates prayer with our armor. It associates prayer with how we defend ourselves, how we have offensive weapons and defensive weapons, how we live and navigate a spiritual life. Because listen, everything is spiritual. All of our battles are spiritual. God is a spirit being. Everything we do is in that spiritual realm. So prayer is that access. Prayer is that continual conversation with God. And if we're not praying continually, if we're not thinking about the things of God regularly, then what are we doing? Well, we're thinking about everything else. And it's real easy to turn everything else into little idols. It's real easy to turn everything else into fear, into panic, into worry. I mean, just think about it. Going into this Sunday, we saw it on the news all week. As soon as they knew a storm was coming, immediately it was like shutdown mode. Go to the grocery store. Nobody travel on Friday. Nobody travel on Saturday. And whether that's good advice or not is not the point. The point is that it's real easy to get consumed with everything that's going on. It's easy to get consumed with what's happening with the virus. It's easy to get consumed with what's happening economically in the world. It's easy to get consumed with what Russia is doing and what other places are doing. Our minds can get so drafted there that we forget that we are meant to be praying continually, to be thinking about the things of God. Ephesians 6:18, I want to walk through this. It kind of speaks to basically a victorious prayer life. It starts off by saying this: praying at all times. I'm going to break it down real quick. Praying at all times, which means prayer works at all things, at all times. So pray at all times. Good times, the bad times, the times where you don't feel anything, the times where you're struggling, the times where you feel like you are being blessed. At all times, be praying. And then it qualifies it. And if you're praying, be praying in the Spirit. Why is that important? Well, that's important because the Spirit knows the heart and the mind of God and the heart and the mind of you. As we allow the Holy Spirit to intercede on our behalf, as we allow the Spirit to pray with us and through us, it is that Holy Spirit that has that wisdom and that direction, that knows the will of God for our life, that knows our life, that connects the two together. So we don't just pray just to pray, but what happens when we pray at all times and we're praying with and in the Holy Spirit? And then it breaks it down more. It says that as we do that, we should do so with all prayer and all supplication. In other words, pray for everything. Not just for one thing, pray for everything. Not just in one area, but pray for all things, all situations, whatever's going on. To that end, it says to keep alert. Again, this is tied to Ephesians 6, which talks about the schemes of the devil. It talks about the fiery darts that the enemy is constantly launching at us to intimidate us, to cause us to fear, to cause the panic. And prayer is that response weapon. Prayer is that response back that keeps us alert. It keeps our spirit active. It keeps our eyes open. It keeps our minds open to not just the things of God, but also to be on a lookout for the schemes of the devil, to be on a lookout for those attacks that the enemy throws at us. And as we're praying in the Spirit, we're praying to God, we're continuously praying, we're also staying alert and active because the enemy is alert and active. It says that he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And prayer is that thing that keeps us tight to the will and to the hand of God. It goes on and says that with all perseverance, in other words, other variations say in persistence, constantly praying, persistently praying, not just one-off, but constant, persistent, persevere through those prayers. And it ends by saying, making supplication for all the saints. In other words, as you're praying, pray for believers. Pray for your church family. Pray for your church staff. Pray for your small group. Pray for those around you that are believers that are also struggling the same ways that you're struggling. Pray for believers around the world. What a great prayer that is, just to pray for God's hand to move in believers who are not just here, but global. So pray always. The second point I want to bring this morning is this, is to not lose heart. I love that the writer says, I love that Jesus says that. I love that he mentions for us not to lose heart. And why would he mention for us not to lose heart? Well, because I know how often it's easy for me to lose heart by assumably unanswered prayers. It's easy to get discouraged, isn't it? If we were just honest with ourselves, it's easy to get discouraged in our prayer life because there's probably many of you who have been praying for things for a long time. And you're praying, and you're praying, and you're praying, and eventually, if we're not careful, we can get discouraged. We can lose heart. So I love that Jesus says that he's sharing this parable so that you will pray always and that you won't get discouraged. You won't lose heart. I think that's very powerful because, listen, the enemy will love nothing more than just to simply cause us to lose heart and to cause us to give up. Not just on others, but also on God, on ourself, on our circumstances. It's easy for the enemy just to whisper those things in our ear to say, listen, if God really loved you, wouldn't he have answered this prayer request by now? Come on, how many of you have heard that before? You've heard that voice before, just questioning God, wondering where he is. Sometimes we feel like when we pray, like it's just hitting the ceiling and bouncing back. And what Jesus is saying is like, listen, you gotta be persistent in prayer. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Oftentimes, I like to encourage people, listen, don't give up before you see that miracle happen. I think so often we just give up before we see that miracle. What would happen if the Israelites walking around Jericho stopped a day short? What would have happened if they just gave up because they got tired and they didn't make it to that final day? Just think about what would happen in our life if we would just give up right before that miracle would come. The answer would come. There's so much at stake. Not only for us, but there's also things at stake because there's eternity at stake. There's souls at stake. There's lives at stake. And if the enemy can get us to give up on our prayer life and to give up on our spiritual victory, there are absolute souls and eternity at stake. In 2 Thessalonians 3:13, it says, as for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. Stay encouraged. Don't get tired in doing the right thing. And again, I just want to encourage you. There's so many of you. You are holding the line in truth. You are holding the line in morality. You're holding the line in spiritual truths. You're holding the line in biblical truths. And you're doing the right things. And sometimes doing the right things is really hard because there's a lot of attacks. And you see everybody else doing the wrong things, and you can assume like, oh, they're doing all the wrong things, and they seem to just be fine. And here I am over here getting persecuted. I'm over here getting mocked. I'm over here being rejected, doing the right things. And it's easy, again, just to give up. But listen, we can't give up. Don't get weary in doing the good. Keep doing good. In 2 Corinthians 4:16-18, it says, so we do not lose heart. It says, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Listen, that's how you don't lose heart, by the way. You don't lose heart because your inner self is being renewed. This is what prayer does. Prayer, that connection to God, renews our spirit. It renews our heart. It builds our faith. And this is why this is so important. It says, for this light, momentary affliction is preparing us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. See, as I read that, God just kind of prompted me a reminder. God is always at work. Even though we might not see it, you might not ever see maybe the results of your prayer, but don't ever doubt that God's not moving, that God's not working. Our job is to pray. It's God's job to answer. And so God is at work always. So we can't look to just what we physically see. We have no idea sometimes what God is doing spiritually. We have no idea that our prayers for our loved one, that God isn't always working on them and speaking to them. Galatians 6:9, it says, and let us not grow weary of doing good. Another reminder, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And again, that's kind of a combination, right? It's a combination, a reminder, listen, don't give up. And we can't give up just because, well, we just don't want to give up. Well, no, we don't give up because there's a harvest to reach. There's souls at stake. There's lives at stake. We cannot give up in doing good, which I want to tie back, because if we're praying and we're getting frustrated and we give up on prayer, it's real easy then to give up just in life and on God and on doing good and on standing in the truth. So we get our energy, we get our power, all of that we get through that prayer life in the Spirit. The third point is this, number three, is that God hears us and he answers us. This is a hard one sometimes to talk about, because I understand what the Bible says, like many of you. The Bible says that as I pray, God hears it and he sends the answer. Well, then sometimes we're like, well, then where's the answer? If that's true, then where are the answers? In 1 John 5:14 to 15, it says, and this is the confidence we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So number one, he hears you. He's not deaf to your cry. He's not too busy for you. He's not ignoring you. He hears you. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. In other words, church, listen, if we believe that God hears us, then can we also believe that God's going to do it? Can we also believe that God's going to answer, that he's going to respond? In Jeremiah 29, 12 to 13, it says, you'll call on me, you'll come and pray to me, and I will hear you. It's another promise, I'll hear you. He says when we seek him, that we're going to find him, when we seek him with all of our heart. Again, we cannot allow the enemy to cause us to doubt God's goodness. We can't allow the enemy to cause us to doubt whether God hears us or whether God is listening. And here's the hard truth that we have to get with. God's answer might not be what you want. It might not be the answer you want, but it's always right and it's always just. So sometimes we get frustrated because we pray for something and we don't get the answer we actually want. Again, can we trust God that God is good, that God is just, that God is always right? So then how does God answer us? So as we're praying, I wrote down about four ways, just four ways, there's more, but four ways that God will answer us, that we gotta be listening. The first way that I've seen in my life where God answers is through his word, through the Bible. There's been a lot of times where I've been praying for something and I kind of combine praying for something and reading scripture. And as I'm praying for whatever I'm praying for, lo and behold, it's right there in scripture. And God leads me to a passage and God leads me to the answer. Can we just all testify and be excited that God's word still speaks? That his written word, the Bible that we have, is still truth? Sometimes as we pray, God's word is the answer. The other way that he answers in my history, what I've seen and what I've seen in scripture, is he answers through his Holy Spirit. And to me, for me, it's just that way that I just know how God speaks to me. I just know what that feels like in my life. I just know in spiritual disciplines what God is speaking to me. Now, I've never heard God's audible voice. I've never seen God physically. Like Jesus never just physically came to me and had a conversation telling me that my prayer was being answered. So we have to rely on the Holy Spirit inside of us. Again, that Holy Spirit inside of us can give us that nudge, can speak to our heart, can speak to our mind that we know what the answer is. Another way I've seen God answer is through miracles and signs and wonders. And I'm a believer, and our church believes this. I hope you do, that God still can do signs. He still can do wonders. He still can do miracles. And at times we have prayed and we have seen the hand of God move. And my prayer right now is that there's things in your life that God will answer in such a way that nobody else will know how that got answered but by God. And I think oftentimes that is such a great testimony of God's faithfulness. When we can say, we've been praying about this, we don't know how it happened other than God, and here's the answer. The other way that I've seen God answer is, well, it's honestly through other people. It's through other people. God can speak through other people. God can speak through circumstances. Now that one, I believe, and I always say this, you gotta be a little careful with that one, because you never know. Somebody could come to you and claim to have something from God for you, and sometimes that might be right, and sometimes it might be off. That's why you being connected to the Holy Spirit and connected to God is so important. But does God use people in our lives? Absolutely, he will. Absolutely. We could be praying for something and God sends along somebody that is an answer to that prayer. God absolutely can and will use people. So let me just ask you a spiritual discipline question that I think it's fair for you to wrestle with if you don't know, but here it is. How do you know when God speaks to you? How do you know when God speaks to you? How do you know it's God and not just your own idea? And listen, there's not just a one simple answer for that. And here's the beautiful thing. God created you. He knows you. Trust that God also knows how to speak to you in a way that you personally know that it's God who's speaking to you. Number four, the fourth point is this. It talks about God's timing. That parable that Jesus read, it led us to God's timing. And again, let me just encourage you, whether you believe this or not, whether this has been your experience or not, is this. God is never late, but he's always on time. He's never late, but he's always on time. And he's always on his time. Now, I know most of us would love if God could be just a little early sometimes, if God could give us the answer a little quicker sometimes. There's things that we pray about, and it gets right up to that 12th hour, right up to that moment, and we don't have an answer, and then there's the answer. It's like, well, God, couldn't you have let me know that yesterday? It would have taken a little bit of stress away. But here's the beautiful thing about this, that as we're praying, we are learning about God. We're learning about ourselves. In Psalm 31, verse 14 to 15, it says, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. Listen to verse 15. It says, my times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. I love that first part. My time is in your hands. What if we said it this way? God, my timing is in your hands. I just trust you with it. I trust you with the timing. God, you're not going to be late. You know what's going on. You don't have a blind eye to me. You know my circumstance. So God, I'm just going to put my timing in your hands. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 to 9, it's another reminder. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. That is a true verse. Oftentimes, I know that people that they don't like that answer. People don't like the answer when they question God and you don't like the answer. Well, God's ways are not our ways and God's thoughts aren't our thoughts. His ways are higher than us. People don't like that answer because it sounds like it's just an excuse for why God didn't do whatever he was going to do. But it is a biblical response. It's true. I don't have the same mind and thought and knowledge that God has. His ways are higher than my ways. The way he thinks is higher and greater than I'm such an infinite thinker, like a finite thinker. I just, you know, we can only think linear and here and now. And we have this universal God that has been around the universe for all eternity, this God of everything that knows everything, that spans beyond time and space and all that stuff. Of course, his ways are higher than our ways, which means we got to trust him. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, it says, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. Another reminder that, listen, God's never in a hurry. God's never rushed. God's never caught by surprise. God's never sitting there going, oh, I can't believe I missed this appointment with you. The Bible talks about time in such a weird way for us to understand that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. In other words, time is so irrelevant in eternity when it comes to our linear start to finish. Everything we do is just forward, like time, aging, life. And it's just a little span of a linear timeline. And then you got this God that's like, what is time? I'm everywhere. I'm always. Your past, your present, your future. Which means for me, honestly, for me, it means that I can trust him with that. Because God, you're not going to be in a hurry because you're not surprised. So I'm just going to trust your timing and your will and your life. Praying through God's timing, I want you to hear me when I say this, praying through God's timing will lead us to greater faith if we do not lose heart and if we don't get frustrated. if we're praying for something persistently, if we just keep going before God and keep going before God, what that does, it leads us to greater faith, to greater trust, if we just won't lose heart and if we just don't get frustrated. The fifth and final point this morning is this, is Jesus ends that parable by basically saying, will he find anybody faithful? Will Jesus find you and me faithful? At the end of it, when it's all said and done, when the Son of Man returns, will he find that we've been faithful? See, prayer is tied to faith, isn't it? It has to be. Prayer has to be tied to faith because faith in general is believing in something you just don't see. Well, we are praying to a God that we physically aren't seeing. We're praying to a God that audibly might not be responding to you. In John chapter 20, Jesus is having a conversation with Thomas, affectionately known as Doubting Thomas. And Thomas is doubting whether or not what he's seeing in front of him is actually Jesus, because he just witnessed Jesus' crucifixion. He just witnessed Jesus going into a tomb. The disciples have been afraid, and all the other disciples have kind of seen him, but Thomas was one of the last ones to see Jesus, and Jesus just kind of appears, and he knows, he recognizes, Thomas, you're doubting me, aren't you, Thomas? And so, come on, a lot of you know this passage. What did he say? He says, hey, go ahead and touch my hands, Thomas. Touch my hands. Is this not me? Touch my side. Put your hand in my wounds. See that I am who I am. And Thomas, of course, believes. And how couldn't you, right? Jesus is before you physically and you're touching him and he's speaking to you. Now listen, if Jesus did that for you, would you not overwhelmingly saying, yes, I believe? If Jesus himself today, right now, just popped into your living room and said, I am the Christ, here are my wounds, here's this and the other thing, let me show you myself, let me talk to you, then you would believe, right? You would see him face to face. Makes sense. But Jesus says this to Thomas. He says, have you believed because you have seen me? And I like this next part because he's speaking about you and me, along with the Gentiles and the others and the church advancing in the early years. He said, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. He's talking about us that believe even though we haven't seen. Will Jesus find us faithful? Will we remain faithful in our prayer life? So again, let me ask you a question a different way. What are you persistently praying for now? What is it right now in your life that you have been praying for? And maybe another way of saying it is what have you kind of given up on? Are there things that you were praying persistently in and for that you've just lost heart and you've just stopped praying? Maybe you have things right now that you are actively praying for and through. Can I encourage you? Don't give up. God hears you. Your job is to pray. It's God's job to answer. Don't give up. I want to close this morning by praying alongside of you. I want to pray for you this morning, those of you that have things in your life that you are persistently praying for, that there's things in your life that you are just putting before God, there's things in your life that you're just actively seeking God in, that there's areas of your life that you want to see victory in. I want to pray with you this morning as we begin to close. But before I do that, we're talking a lot today about prayer. At the end of the day, the most effective prayer sometimes is just a cry from our heart and an acknowledgement that we need him. See, one of the wonderful things in my life that I love about prayer is that it's a personal, relational communication between me and my Savior. That at any moment, I can go to the God of the universe, I can go to the Jesus that loves me and saves me, and I can speak to him as a friend speaks with a friend, as the Bible says. I can just go to him and talk to him. And I can do that because there was the first prayer I prayed, maybe the most meaningful prayer, and that was a prayer of salvation. See, we can't talk about prayer and persistent prayer in relation without also talking about a prayer of salvation. And I want to encourage you, you might be watching right now, wherever you're watching from, and I would just encourage you that if you've never prayed a prayer to receive Jesus into your life right now, right here, let's do that. What are we waiting for? He loves you. He created you. He wants to have a relationship with you. You know that there's no real formulaic prayer in Scripture that just says, pray these words exactly and you'll be saved. But what the Bible does say is that if we confess with our mouth that he is Lord, and if we believe that in our heart, it says that he will save us. He'll rescue us. And so right now, I just want to give you a moment, wherever you are, that if you've never accepted Jesus into your life, would you just right now just speak words to him? Would you right now just speak and say, Jesus, I want you in my life. Jesus, would you just come and just forgive me of my sins? Jesus, I recognize I don't have a relationship with you, and I want one right now today. So Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for my sins, and I acknowledge right now that I invite you in my life to be my Lord and my Savior. That you would help me for the rest of my days live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now for the rest of us this morning, I want to close in prayer for you as a closing prayer, and I want you to agree with me in these areas of your life that you need to see victory in, the areas in your life where you need to be persistent in, and let's not give up. Let's just bring these requests before God constantly, because a good and just God is hearing your requests. And we just talked about how a good and just God hears them, responds to them, and loves you. And so let's pray together. Jesus, right now, we come before you right now, and we just put before you all these prayer requests, all the prayer requests right now for victory in our life, all the needs we have, all the areas of our life that we need to be persistent in. So Lord, right now, I pray for those that maybe they've never consistently prayed for something, that it's just once in a while. So Lord, right now, that you would just speak to their heart to allow them to just persistently keep praying for that and believing for answers, believing for victory. I pray for those that have given up, that are frustrated. Lord, I hope that today that your Spirit encourages them to continue in prayer, to get back into that prayer moment. And so Lord, right now, I pray for everybody listening. I pray that you would bless them with victory in their life in all the areas that we are praying in your will. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.